Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Bill, you were flailing your arms today.
It's that very flail. That song is so flailable.
It sounds like it belongs in one of those Miller Lite.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Very
dilly
much
dilly.
So.
Dilly dilly.
Here Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. Eric, we have so many texts, and we want to roll you into this discussion. We're talking about the governor of Virginia. That would be Ralph Northam, who may or may not have appeared in a medical yearbook dressed in blackface with another kid dressed as a Klansman.
Or maybe he was the Klansman.
He has very little recollection.
Kid. He was in his mid-20s. I mean, this was medical school.
Right, mid-20s. All right, so...
Well, but he did, for sure, say that he appeared as Michael Jackson in a dance contest, and he darkened his face with shoe polish.
And it's hard to get off, so that's definitely something that happened.
Yes.
Yeah, well, he admits to that.
Right.
And the other stuff, it's really what's very peculiar. He comes out on Friday and says, I did this, I'm really sorry, I really regret it. He comes out on Saturday and says, well, you know, that wasn't me in that picture.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I sort of understand how, in the absolute white-hot heat of that moment, you might just say, oh my God, that picture, I'm just going to apologize for it right away, I'm going to get this behind me as fast as I can, and then to sort of realize and think about it some more and come back the next day. I mean, it was really peculiarly handled. His communications team all ought to be fired.
That's why if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about, like, what I should say. Just speak the truth.
And it may have been, this sounds weird to say, but it's truth at the moment. Like, you might have seen that and just thought, I've got to distance myself from it. I must apologize for this, which I think speaks well of his attitude toward it now.
Would you apologize for something you were accused of if it wasn't you?
If I didn't do it, I wouldn't apologize.
Right, except that if it with the picture on his the presumption with a picture on his yearbook page, the medical schools have yearbooks.
I know,
that's
weird too.
That was the weirdest thing. It's like,
and was he supposed to be Michael Jackson in that picture?
No, not in that picture. No, okay. No. But have you ever seen a picture of yourself and you have absolutely no recollection? I mean, I guess it's possible, but something like that would stand out where you were attending some sort of a costume gala dressed that way. You would remember part of it, wouldn't you?
I would think.
Like if it was you or not?
It's a very strange thing, and of course, there's probably still more journalism to be committed on this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
They're going to find his medical school classmates and say, who is this? And maybe the person who edited the yearbook.
Right, somebody would know.
Because he says that he was in the military at the time, so he was going back and forth, and he maybe didn't see this yearbook. He didn't okay the picture that was on the... I mean, who puts a picture like that in a yearbook?
Right.
I mean,
medical school should be getting into some of this.
There's more to find out about this. But
yeah.
The bigger question, I think, that we have to deal with all this is something that happened like this 35 years ago that was a grotesque error in judgment. I don't think that it showed racism in his heart that is enduring, right? Because his public record...
I don't know him well enough to say that.
Well, I've read that. We're not residents of Virginia, but he ran as a liberal Democrat. He spoke out, I think, eloquently after Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I believe that he's been opposed to the Confederate monuments. In fact, he was called a traitor to his country or his race or something.
For wanting to take down those monuments.
So I think he's been on the right side. A lot of the black lawmakers have said this, even the ones who are calling for his resignation, that he's been on the right side of a lot of these issues. So this isn't like, I don't think it's a window into his soul today.
Right.
Look back 35 years and say, okay, why would you have done this? Was this just a really bad joke? Was this just, some sort of a, let's see, and again, you're looking back 35 years, what if it's 25? What if it's 15? What if it's 10? What's the time frame that you're allowed and something like that?
We've gotten several texts from people saying that was a time where, although not 100% acceptable, people would kind of look the other way. They mentioned a bunch of movies and television shows that were based on white people dressing in blackface. I will never forget an episode of Saturday Night Live where Eddie Murphy was a white guy. They dressed him up like a white guy, and he walked around New York. And
it was
saw
a short, right?
Yeah, it was. And it was fantastic.
It was.
I also remember Billy Crystal playing a black baseball player, somebody who played baseball years ago. He was dressed You know, and that was extremely effective.
Well, I looked in the Nexus News archives from the early 80s in the New York Times. The Tribune is an archive back before 85, but the New York Times is. And to see what the references were to blackface. And there were a couple of controversies. One was a Baltimore policeman was doing an Al Jolson act in his spare time.
Oh, and that's just timely.
And yeah. was being sued for that, or the department was being sued. And then there was an incident at a college where a sorority had a quote-unquote ghetto party, and they had dressed in blackface. Oh. And these were seen as bad, but there were a number of references to blackface entertainers on Broadway and opera and ballet and
right.
so on. And the critic just kind of makes note of it, like so-and-so plays so-and-so in blackface.
Yeah.
And so it was not, I think, at the time seen in quite the same way by most
Definitely.
People. Now there's Ben Vereen performed in blackface at Ronald Reagan's inauguration in 1981. Ben Vereen is an African-American entertainer, and this was, I think, in some ways meant to be reclaiming
yeah.
blackface. And to I don't remember that. At the time, I mean, this is all archival work.
When you will remember is the Ted Danson episode.
I was just going to ask you, how did Ted Danson bounce back from that?
It was not easy at first. I mean, there were a couple months where he was
dating Whoopi at the time.
And she defended him 1,000%. She just went out of her way to say he meant no malice. This was just a joke.
The question becomes, like, was there malice in Ralph Northam's heart in 1984, whatever it was, that picture was actually taken, or when he performed as Michael Jackson, whatever he actually did. Was there malice? Was there racism in his heart? Or was this just really bad judgment?
Yeah.
And I think we can probably agree at this point, especially looking back, it was really bad judgment. The question is, does that really bad judgment mean that he cannot and should not be the governor of Virginia? And my take on that is, I think we don't know yet. And I am really hesitant or wary of this rush to not judgment, but rush to conclusion. Rush to, like, say, we need him to resign now.
Yeah.
There's no reason he needs to resign now. Everyone needs to, like, take a step back, wait for the next, you know, big event to come up, and so we're not, like, all focused on this, all talking about it all the time, and see whether he can be effective whether he can be redeemed. This is a culture, a society. We believe in redemption. We believe in second chances. We believe in forgiveness. In the heat of the moment, nobody seems to want to forgive him, but I'll bet you in a week, in 2 weeks, when you
It'll
look back,
soften.
People will say, well, let's actually examine this question. Can he be an effective governor of Virginia?
Yeah.
There seems to be a very talented and has a nice resume lieutenant governor of Virginia who happens to be black, who could step in and serve, and maybe that would be better for everybody. But I think this idea that we have to make a decision right now, he has to resign now.
Right.
I think that's a bad way to conduct anything, to decide in the moment. The moment when you're the angriest, the most confused, when you don't know as much as maybe you need to know,
yes.
to make a decision like that. It seems unwise to me. Like, you just need to step back. And one of the things that came up, we were talking about this, remember Jack Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was running. He was the Republican running for Senate. He was going to be running against Barack Obama. And the Tribune published some excerpts from his divorce files.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Ryan.
From Star Trek.
7 of 9.
He had to do with some kind of weird kinky sex things.
Yes.
Nothing illegal. No, I mean, it's just kind of like embarrassing, basically. And he was so mortified by it and freaked out. And everyone was like, he's got to quit. He's got to quit. He can't run. And in like 2 or 3 days, he dropped out of the race.
Yeah.
And Jack Ryan, I didn't agree with him a lot politically. I thought he had a future in politics. And he was a smart guy. And he was certainly going to be a better candidate than Alan Keyes, who ended up replacing him. And I just thought that he rushed to resign because we've got to do this right now. I didn't understand. It was like, maybe it was May or June.
Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't like this is going to explode all over the place. And when I think of things, I think of that. Like, why do we need to make these decisions so
immediately?
Quickly? Yeah.
Well, from the Covington Catholic kids, too,
exactly.
That I stand corrected. I jumped to conclusions and I didn't see the whole story. I still think the smirk on that kid's face, he's not 100% innocent, trust
right.
me.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that, but I think that everyone wanted to make these things right away, and there is no real reason to do this because we move on so quickly. There's so many news stories. The State of the Union tomorrow night, Trump's going to say something
can't wait
nutty or something, and we'll all be talking about that Wednesday. And And then in a week or 2 weeks, there's plenty of time for the governor of Virginia to assess this, to talk to people when they're not all on Meet the Press having to come up to an opinion to decide how bad this was and how damaged he is as a politician and whether there isn't a way for him to either stay on or resign gracefully.
Well said, Eric. It's
Thank
Eric
you.
Zorn. He'll say more other good things
Well, we have the best tweets.
Oh, the best tweets of the month.
A month.
I totally forgot. All right, stick around. All that's ahead. It's Bill and Lenny at WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're going to move on to the best tweets of the month, but there's just one text that I can't shake. A lot of great texts coming in, but this one. Is it still considered blackface if a white person puts on a mask of Michael Jackson? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I wouldn't chance
it. I'm not sure.
I wouldn't risk it.
I'm not sure. Tweets of the month, Eric. What have you got?
These are the top 10 tweets of January 2019. And again, I'm going to send the link to Jasmine, and she's going to put it on your page.
Oh, good.
For the attributions. But these are the top 10 tweets. Pabst Blue Ribbon's label says it was, quote, selected as America's best 1893, and they're still bragging about it. There were 10 people in America in 1893, and 8 of them worked for Pabst. The back in horseback riding is probably unnecessary.
That's true.
Fun game. Try to guess someone's name based solely on their face, the various conversations you've had with them, and the many times they actually told you their name.
Oh, that's great. That's very good.
I have pictures of random children in my house. When my kid misbehaves, I gently remind him of the brothers and sisters who came before him and are no longer part of the family.
That's pretty funny.
I put on my trousers just like anyone else. One minute the trousers are in my hand and the next I'm wearing them. And I never really remember what happens in between. It turns out the answer to my problems wasn't at the bottom of this pint of ice cream. But the important thing is that I tried.
Was the trouser one written by Pat Hughes, who does the Cubs games? Because he's the only person I know who still says trousers.
Yeah.
And he says it with so much vim. I always enjoy it.
Trouser pantaloons, I think is one of it. No, it was written by Redacted Dutta.
Oh, that was my second guess.
That one reason I don't read the attributions is sometimes I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Oh.
But anyway. A day without coffee is like, just kidding, I have no idea. The person who coined the phrase "settle down and have kids" obviously didn't have actual kids.
Amen to that.
It is a weird combo because it's always thrown together.
Settle down and have kids? No, it's not going to happen.
The opposite.
Not gonna happen. Gotta say, I love living by the sword. I just hope there are no consequences from this. And the last one is: I never say it's the least I can do because I know in my heart I can always do less.
A strong month for tweets, Eric.
It was a good month for tweets.
Excellent month for tweets.
I sent the link to Jasmine. It'll be on my page of the Tribune as well.
Wendy and I discussed this right out of the box this morning when we got here. It was the Super Bowl yesterday, the biggest football game of the year, but a lot of people were not very enchanted with yesterday's game or the commercials or the halftime show. Where do you stand on all of them?
Well, Johanna was saying during the game, she said, is this a boring game? Is this a boring game? Because...
And you said yes.
I kept saying no. I said, well, no, it's a defensive struggle. It's like one of those baseball games. It's 1-0 and the pitchers duel. It's a defensive struggle. I thought it was interesting on that. Well, no, there wasn't a lot of scoring, but it was a tolerably interesting game. No, I don't think it was that boring a game.
I just think that by the mere fact that one play could have changed the outcome of the game, like if you get a blowout, if a team is up 31-3, you go, can't be a good game.
Well, as the announcers were saying at one point, like the Rams were one pick six away from taking the lead.
Constantly.
And it was like right until the very end when the Patriots kicked the field goal.
Right.
The game was still in doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a fumble, scoop, and score.
Right.
And it was quite a good game for that. I mean,
it was close to 58 minutes of the game were within, you know, a couple of points.
Yeah. And I thought that the commercials were for the most part pretty humdrum. I really liked two of them. I really liked the Hyundai elevator ad.
Yeah, that was my favorite one too.
I thought that was and Steve
with
Johnson,
Jason Bateman.
Yeah, Jason Bateman and Steve Johnson also at the Tribune, who does our official scorecard, was the only one he gave an A to. I thought that was really funny. Not only was it funny, I mean, a lot of times they do funny ads, but you can't understand what's the connection to the product.
Right.
Something really amusing scene. They're like, well, wait a minute, why is that? Why is that, you know, a Hyundai ad? But it was actually to sell their app or something.
Although everybody says Hyundai wrong. It's pronounced Hyundai like Sunday.
I'm saying Hyundai.
Everyone's saying Hyundai. Hyundai. Everyone. So did
Dennis Ryan.
Dennis earlier.
Boy, that's the career end director.
Yeah, he's done. He will never work again.
And the other ad that I really liked was the ad with the Microsoft for the video games that disabled kids can play.
That was very touching.
And the long version that was online before the game, it's like it's moving. It's like you get choked up, and you go, "This is it's really great what this adaptive technology can do for disabled kids and how it can make them feel part of this community." I thought that was really touching.
Right.
I was baffled by the Pepsi ad.
Is
Pepsi okay?
You know? Remind me what happened. Steve Carell
is in there going, "Is Pepsi okay?
B.
Pepsi okay? It's more than okay."
Yeah.
I mean, it was like almost a self-owned by Pepsi. It was like, this is because it's a cultural norm that everybody orders Coke. No, and they're invoking this. No, Pepsi is okay. And
right.
I thought that was...
That's what Dennis Ryan said, was it was almost... like an ad for Coke.
Yes, really. Yeah. And the other one I thought got a lot of praise had to do with the corn syrup.
Yes.
For
Budweiser.
I didn't quite understand. I don't know whether I like high fructose corn syrup in my beer or not. I have no real reference point for it. I know that it's the demon that's invoked when you talk about diet beverages.
Right.
But is that something that really...
Are you going to change your beer? I'm not.
Yeah. I didn't quite... And they're talking about, you know, Coors Light and Miller Light, and I'm thinking, is this really going to make me want to... I mean, all I want out of a beer is that it tastes good, right?
But what Wendy just said is the truest part of this is who... If you have a loyalty to one specific beer, what would you have to see in an ad that you go, "That's it, enough of that beer, I'm
chopped up rat tails"?
Over.
If I found out the word chopped up rat tails, I would maybe switch.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. If they could say, like, "No, this has got some poison, a little bit of arsenic is made." But,
right.
But corn syrup? And apparently the corn farmers are really
not happy.
And I can see why.
Yeah.
And Dennis pointed out that Budweiser is so far ahead in sales of the other ones that it was just, to me, that's like a mean way to do it.
Well, I mean... What is it about beer? Is not, it's like you want something that tastes good, right?
Right.
And so to me, an ad that's going to get me to change beers is
you want it less filling and to taste great.
I want it to taste great.
That's what you want.
And so I've never understood all these image ads that they run all the time, but
yeah,
they can do that. So anyway,
it's funny. Eric, thank you. We'll see you in a week.
Great to see you.
It's
Thanks,
Eric Zorn, everybody. We'll find out what's coming up. What's coming up with Steve next?
And the stories that matter coming up. That's what's happening with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN.